May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. 462.
The word of God, we will read the 41st chapter in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who have wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with a hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. There shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and not find them, shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh thee mountains and beat them small, and shalt make thee hills of chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittar tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord have done this, and the Holy One of Israel have created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. Or declare us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who have declared from the beginning, that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous. Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. And I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man even among them. And there was no counselor that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. May God bless to us his holy word of truth and help us in prayer. Almighty and Holy God. Do help us now to draw near to thy holy footstool in prayer. Teach us what to ask for, and give us the faith to know who we come to. Give us a clear view of thy greatness and of thy almighty power. And may that view constrain us to ask great things of thee. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies that bring us into thy house of prayer, bringing us each in safety around thy precious and holy word of truth. And thank thee, Lord, we are permitted again to come into thy courts and spared to see another of thy days. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for the mercies of the week now past. A week, Lord, as every week of our lives has been full of mercy, full of kindness, full of compassion from thee. Lord, thou hast given to us each that food and drink that was necessary, health and strength, and many comforts. Lord, help us to own with thankfulness where these come from. And Lord, help us to be thankful for those comforts that are known in Jesus Christ. And lead us, Lord, this day to that fountain opened for sin, and may that precious fountain be applied to our souls and consciences. And may we know what it is to have peace with God. And that assurance that one day we will be called to eternal peace in heaven above. Bless thy precious and holy word we have read. Make it spirit, life, and power unto us, and may we profit from the reading of thy precious word. May we not forget it. But may we, Lord, realize that it is the word of God. And may we prove where the word of a king is, there is power. Where the word of the King of Kings is, then there must be almighty power. Let that almighty power be known in our hearts, that we may be saved by thee, by thy precious grace. Do hear and answer the prayer of the opening hymn of our worship this day, and guide us each in this pilgrim journey of life. And may each be found in that narrow way which leads to heaven. At last, bless this church and people. We commend them to thee and ask, Lord, that thou wouldst watch over them and be with them and do supply their needs as a church and congregation, and as individuals. Bless thy servants as they labour in this pulpit week by week, and send each of them with a message from thee. And grant, Lord, that that word may be sent with power and authority into the hearts of those who hear and worship here. Do bless the deacons of this cause and do help them in the office that thou hast called them to. Help them in the choice of the praises that are sung. Help them, Lord, as they seek to lead this church. Help them, Lord, in the practical matters. Give them wisdom and grace. And then, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless each member of this church. May they be united together in love and union. May they grow in grace, in knowledge of thee. May they be established in the truth. May they know, Lord, thy blessing, thy help, thy wisdom. Lord, if it is thy will, do add unto their number from this people those whom thou hast eternally saved. And constrain thy lambs and thy sheep by thy precious love to walk in the way of thy commands. And then, Lord, do bless each member of this congregation. And do visit each with thy great salvation. Even, Lord, this day, could it please thee to cause to come that life into souls that are now dead in sin, and begin that work which will end in eternal glory and happiness. May lambs be born into thy flock this day, and babes into thy family. May those who already have life be established in thy truth, be kept in the way, and those nearing the end of the journey, may they, Lord, be prepared for that great moment when they must stand, as we each must, before the judgment seat of Christ, to give an account of the deeds done in our bodies, whether good or bad. Prepare us each for that day. And may, Lord, there be much prayerful exercise in each of our hearts concerning that day. And give us each that faith of Paul, for I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Bless those who are elderly and infirm. Grant them thy help and thy strength and thy grace to bear with the afflictions and the trials and the troubles and the sorrows of old age. Help them, Lord, to walk with thee, to be patient, to be submissive, not to murmur, to look unto thee. Remember those in the midst of life, with its burdens, its cares, its concerns, its needs, its trials and troubles, as well as its joys and prosperities. Lord, grant that we may not be so taken up with the things of this life as to forget thee and the one thing needful. Bless parents and help them to bring up children in thy fear and answer the prayers they have for them. Help them to set a right example before them and to bring them up in thy ways. And then, Lord, we pray for the children, the young, those at the beginning of life's journey. Lord, may they be favoured early in life to be called by thee and privileged to walk all of life's journey through with thee. May, Lord, they be made pillars in thy house in the years to come. May they be kept from wandering and straying and kept to thy ways. And Lord, do bring in others to worship here. And Lord, do increase this people. Grant, Lord, that those who are now dead in sin, who know thee not, who have no desire to know thee, may be brought into that spiritual need and brought into this house of prayer. And those, Lord, who worship here and yet still know thee not, cause them to know thee. So, Lord, we pray for the prosperity of this place. And what we pray, Lord, for this people, we pray for thy church up and down our land and throughout the whole world. Build up the walls of Jerusalem, we beg. And grant, gracious God, a turning of the tide of sin and wickedness, and a turning to the ways of righteousness and of truth. And grant, Lord, that we may live to see days of revival in this nation that we have not seen for many generations. Days, Lord, when there is such a hunger and a thirst after thee that we see causes opened that have been closed. Causes that are open, overflowing, not only on thy day, but also in the week. And causes established where there have never been causes of truth. Bless, Lord, thy persecuted church in other parts of the world. And, Lord, do be a shadow and a wall of fire round about them and a defence. May they prove that they are under the shadow of the Almighty in thy tender, safe care and keeping. Help us now as we turn to thy word. Guide us, Lord, to the portion of truth thou wouldst have us speak. May we not gather this day without thee. But grant thy Holy Spirit's presence and aid, the pardon of every sin. Help us, Lord, to speak well of Jesus. Help us, Lord, and day by day to glorify thee in our walk and conversation. May it be evident to others that we have been with Jesus. Draw near, we beg, as on the road to Emmaus, and reveal thyself to us. Smile upon us, Lord, and show thyself as the friend of sinners. For, Lord, we can come in no other way but as sinners and plead the blood that did once for sin atone. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 620. Sin has a thousand pleasing charms, which flatter to preserve from harms. She richly gilds her pleasing baits, and calls her trash delicious sweets. 620. Thank you.
Seeking thee, Lord's help, we turn this morning to the Gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 28, verses 5 to 7. Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 to 7. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come. See the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. I've come to this service this morning, I've not known what to preach from. I trust I've given out that which the Lord would have us consider this morning. Because if we come here aright, we come because we seek Jesus. We seek to worship him, we seek to adore him, we seek to honour him and obey him. We come to seek that we may know him as our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The circumstances around our text are well known. This is the resurrection morning. The Lord Jesus Christ has just triumphantly risen from the dead. Raised again for our justification. And friends, the proof that the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's cross, when he paid for each and every sin of his church, the proof that that was accepted in the highest court of heaven is the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead. Had he not accomplished at Jerusalem that great work? Had just one sin remained unforgiven, unpaid for, the Lord Jesus Christ would never have risen from the dead, and you and I would have no hope for heaven. But now is Christ risen from the dead and is become the first fruits of them that slept. And as surely as Jesus rose from the dead and ascended back into heaven, so surely will all those for whom he lived and died in the last great day ascend, having risen from the dead, those who have died and been caught up in the air, those who are still living. Each will be brought safe home to heaven at the last. Now we see the love of these women. The disciples stayed in their own home. But these few women ventured forth to the sepulchre. We read these accounts, and perhaps, friends, we don't fully realise the faith that they were given. To the eye of reason, this was a dangerous thing to do. Here were these defenceless women by going to the sepulchre. They were declaring the one who had been crucified was their Lord and Master. By seeking to roll back the stone, they were defying the express command of Pontius Pilate that the grave was not to be touched. And they were liable to be arrested themselves and brought before Pilate for punishment. No doubt Satan would not have been slow to have tried to stoke up their fears and to tell them they could too be crucified. And then they had this armed guard to face, this heavy stone rolled, and they were defenseless, no, they weren't armed. They were a company of women, they weren't strong. To the eye of reason, it seemed utterly impossible that they could accomplish what they were setting out to do, but they still ventured. And the Lord honours venturing faith. Their love was so strong that they still ventured forth. And their desire to honour their Lord Jesus Christ, their Master, and their friend. When they come to the sepulchre, they see this angel of the Lord sitting upon the stone. The keepers of the prison, of the sepulchre, shake and become as dead men as they fear and tremble at the sight of this angel who has been dispatched from heaven to roll back the door of the stone as our Lord comes forth. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal, Christ has burst the gates of hell. Death in vain forbids his rise, Christ has opened paradise. And so as the women come to the sepulchre, they find the Lord himself has gone before them. They were beginning to walk in to what we read in Isaiah, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." God was going before them in helping and delivering from every difficulty and protecting them from harm and danger. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. The angel did not speak to the keepers, even though they were so fearful they had become as dead men and were shaking and trembling. There was no word of comfort for them. And the word of our text is not for the wicked. If you are living your life in sin, loving sin, determined whatsoever to have your own way, although you know that what you are doing is wrong and offensive to God, do not think that this text is for you. You have every reason to fear, because you are in the way to hell, and if you go on in that way, your life will end in eternal fear, in eternal misery, in eternal punishment. While you're in that way, you have every cause to fear. And there was no word of comfort. Our God is a consuming fire, says the Apostle Paul. In the same epistle, he says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You and I will stand before this same Jesus one day. That moment after death. When judgment comes. And how will you stand in that great, tremendous day? God is angry with the wicked every day. And he will pour out that anger when the wicked after death are one by one brought before his throne of judgment to be called to account. Sinner, your sin will not seem as pleasurable then. How can you escape damnation of hell? If you go on in sin, if you go on breaking the Lord's commandments, thinking it does not matter, if you go on a stranger to Jesus, not seeking him, you will prove God to be a consuming fire to all eternity. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. To those who are seeking Jesus, to those who are longing to find him, to those who have found him, this is the word of the Lord this morning to you. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. You may have many cause for fear, various reasons. You may have guilt on your conscience because of your sins. You may be fearful because you know the wicked potential of your heart as to how you are going to walk in the way of faith in the days of this week to come. You may be fearful of the unknown way. There's some trial and trouble ahead of you. Some mountain that has to be climbed. Some Jordan that's got to be crossed. Some command that has got to be obeyed. This is a word of the Lord for you. Fear not ye. Why? It goes back to what we read in our reading. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Dismay is The greatest intensity of fear, isn't it? Dismay is when you come to a dead halt. But fear not ye. If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is on your side, Satan cannot conquer you. If God is keeping you, you will be safe. Fear not ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified, and as long as you and I are seeking Jesus, we're in a safe place. In him and him alone is safety found. What are we seeking Jesus for? What do true seekers seek after Jesus for? Pardon for sin, for their sin. The name Jesus, it means Saviour. He shall save his people from their sins. He is the one and the only one who can save from sin. From the guilt of sin, from the pollution of sin, from the punishment of sin, from the way of sin, from the love of sinning. For I know that ye seek Jesus. Those of you who this morning have been brought to see that you cannot seek salvation in yourself. Here is where salvation is found, in Jesus. When he died upon that cross, the whole sins of his church were laid upon him. An infinite number of sins. We cannot even begin to number our own sins, let alone try to number the whole election of graces. It was a great weight. It was an immeasurable weight. But Jesus paid the price that was due. He paid the debt that each of those sins had incurred. And the wages of sin is death. And upon that cross, Jesus experienced that death. That literal death in his body. But he also bore in that punishment that eternal death that his church would have borne in hell. The whole weight of the anger of the Godhead for the sins of his church was poured out upon him. Tremendous clouds of wrath and dread and vengeance burst upon his head. 10,000 horrors seek his soul, and vengeful mountains on him roll. He sighed, he groaned, he sweat, he cried. Through awful floods he passed and died. All penal wrath to Zion due in finite justice on him placed. But he rose in triumph from the dead, justice declared, the debt is paid. Then Christ with kingly grandeur flew and took his throne in glory too. But upon that cross he experienced the anguish, the agony, the pain, the suffering, the anger of offended justice, he knew the shame of those sins, though they were not his own, yet he bore the punishment as if he had committed every one of them. And each and every one of those sins which his church have committed brought the Lord of life and glory to that point. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he feel forsaken? Because you sinned, child of God. Why did he feel forsaken? That you might never be forsaken. That when you come to God seeking Jesus, you may find him. And that you may find that peace, and that he may say to you, fear not. The price of that blessing was that the Lord Jesus Christ was brought to feel so lonely, so far off from the comforting smile of his Father. So left alone with the sins of his people. He was brought to that point of intense misery. We cannot begin to conceive it. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. His pardon for sin. In that precious blood that he shed as he suffered those agonies. And you who are seeking Jesus this morning, go on seeking him. It may be many years before you are permitted to find him, but go on seeking. You won't seek and find eternal life anywhere else but here. But the Lord Jesus Christ's own promise to you is this: ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking at the door of mercy, and you will surely find. None that have come to Jesus seeking for pardon and mercy have been turned away. Now God is a sovereign. Some have to seek many years. Some are given their pardon very soon. Some in the sovereignty of God, no pardon first and conviction later on. Mustn't lay down lines for God to work in. Normally he works by convicting someone of sin and bringing them to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are those who They are brought to see the love of Jesus Christ first, and then later on they're taught more of what their sin is. But the point is, the effect will be the same. You will be a seeker. And as long as you are upon this earth, when you have been given this new life within, you will be a seeker, and you will continue to be a seeker to the end of your life. Because every day you'll need fresh pardon. Every day you will need to seek Jesus for righteousness, because you have none of your own. You do not have a perfect obedience to bring to God. Lo, that is required of us under the law of God. And so you'll be brought to seek, not just for pardon, but to seek for righteousness, to seek for that perfect obedience which God requires, and which Jesus has given in the life that he lived before he accomplished his death at Jerusalem. You'll be brought to seek his presence because you love him. How many here this morning, if they were asked why they were seeking Jesus, would you not have to say, why? It's because you love him. You wouldn't seek Jesus if you did not love him. Those who are strangers to him, that's one of the very reasons they do not seek him. They have no love for him. But where the Holy Spirit has put that love in your heart, the fruit will be you will seek for Jesus. You'll seek him in his word. You'll seek him in the ministry. You'll seek him in prayer at the throne of grace. You'll seek him in his ordinances. And you won't be satisfied just to be a seeker. You will not be able to rest until you have found him. And then, friend, you'll prove that he sought you first and found you. You'll be brought to the hymn writer's experience, Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the throne of God. He, to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. God is always first in the matter. He seeks out his sheep one by one and puts his love in their hearts and draws them by that love to seek after him. Because their hearts are drawn to him. Whatever your heart is drawn to, you will seek after. If it is pleasure, if it is money, if it is success, if it is your family, whatever it may be, you'll seek after it because your heart is in it. For those who are in a text, our texts are given a new heart. The old heart will seek after sin because it loves it. The new heart will seek after Jesus. Yes, because it needs him, but also because it loves him. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He was crucified, but he's not crucified now, is he? He's not hanging on that cross now. That work has been accomplished, never needed to be repeated. The promise is fulfilled, salvation's work is done. Justice with mercy is reconciled, and God has raised his Son. His death procured thy peace. His resurrection's thine, believe, receive a full release. To signed in blood divine, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. And wherever you see him, go after him, seek him in his footsteps. Seek him in his ordinances. The angel says to the women here, go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. Have you got something to tell his disciples? Have you sought Jesus? And have you, by his grace, found him? Have you proved that he has sought you and found you? Can you tell of that time when you began to see things that once you never saw? When you began to see sin as what it was? Heinous, offensive, polluted, dangerous, fatal, and how it offended your God and Creator? Can you tell of when you began to find Jesus precious? Of when you began to need him? Of how you came before him in prayer, asking God, be merciful to me, a sinner? And how he in mercy answered that prayer by saying to you, fear ye not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. And you'll prove, behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. He'll go before you like he went before these women to help you. As you go forth to tell your little experience, as you seek to honour him and speak well of him, he'll go before you. And he'll give you a place in the hearts of his people and make them willing to receive you. Then he'll go before you in every step of the way as you walk out that profession. But go quickly. That's the word of the Lord to you this morning. Go quickly. These women, they had to go quickly. They didn't see Jesus here, did they? They came seeking Jesus at the sepulchre. Instead, they were given this command to go and tell his disciples that he had risen from the dead. And as they went in the path of obedience, then Jesus met them. And then they saw him. Well, you've come into the Lord's house this morning without exercise, haven't you? But you desire that you want to know and see Jesus again. Well, you are going to see Jesus. But it's not going to be as you think. You are going to see him as you obey him. As you go forth to tell his disciples, he's going to meet you. And he's going to go with you. But you're not going to see him while you remain, as it were, at the sepulchre. As you walk in the path of obedience, you'll prove the preciousness of Jesus meeting you, going with you. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come See the place where the Lord lay. And of course, that precious ordinance of believers' baptism. We can say of that open grave, where it represents, come, see the place where the Lord lay. It speaks of the grave of Jesus Christ. And there's a precious hymn on the subject. You ever by faith seen this? To see him under death's arrest, enter the dismal grave, a while in that dark cell to rest, our mortal flesh to save. To see him in his grave clothes lie, his life and glory gone. To ask ourselves the reason why this wondrous deed was done. To view the wounds of which he died and own our sins the cause. To honour Christ the crucified, adhering to his laws. To trace him rising from the tomb in victory over all. The firstborn son of nature's womb that rose no more to fall. Have you ever by faith been to the place where the Lord lay? And he says, come. Doesn't say go. Come. Whenever the Lord says come, it's because he's there, he's gone before you. By faith, to go to Calvary. To see him suffering, bleeding and dying, laying upon that cross for you. And then to see him lying in that tomb, his life and glory gone. Why does he lay in the tomb? Necessary, friends. It's part of the cup, isn't it? The wages of sin is death. And after death, the body is laid in the tomb. That lifeless body to await the resurrection morn. And so the Lord Jesus Christ lay in that tomb because of the sins of his people. But when he was laid in that tomb, the sins of his people had all been put away. He buried the sins of his people and they will not be risen again at the last day to condemn you, child of God. They've been buried forever, cast behind the back of our Lord forever. But come, see the place where the Lord lay, that place of love. He lay there because he loved you, child of God. And because he would not lose you. And that love was so great, he was willing to shed that precious blood. He was willing to drink that agonizing cup. He was willing that his lifeless body should be laid in that tomb. That you might be with him in heaven at last. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Of course, there are other places where the Lord lay, which sometimes he takes his people by precious faith. He lay in the bosom of the Father from all eternity as the Son of God. And he dwelt there in perfect love and union with his Father. And as he lay in that bosom in eternity past, the covenant of grace was entered into. His people were chosen to be saved, appointed for salvation. They were given into the hands of the Son by his Father as a gift. And Jesus entered into covenant with his Father willingly, voluntarily, lovingly, knowing what it would mean to come . He left the bosom of his Father to lay in that tomb. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And the Lord has now returned to the bosom of his Father as he is on the right hand of God. The place of love, the place of union, the place of communion, the place of nearness, the place of fellowship. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He lay in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And then in that manger in Bethlehem. What a stoop that was. The bosom of the Father exchanged for that manger in Bethlehem. The bosom of the Father exchanged for that humble bed in that humble home in Nazareth, those 30 years. The bosom of the Father exchanged for laying in that wilderness those 40 days where he was tempted of the devil. The bosom of the Father exchanged for lying on that boat as that storm arose. The bosom of the Father exchanged for the cross and the tomb. Why? All for love's sake, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye for his poverty might be made rich. And because he laid in all those places, to you, child of God, to you, seeker, he says this morning, fear thou not, for I am with thee, not against thee, not absent from thee, not an enemy, but I am with thee, I am for thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You are going to need that strength, you are going to need that help. You're going to need what it is to be upheld every day. But he says 3 times, I will, and when God says I will, he means it. You can rest your whole soul upon it. When he says, I am with thee, that you have nothing to fear, nothing to dread. If he's absent from you, you have everything to fear. If you stray from him, you have everything to fear. But yet even when a believer strays, the Lord does not forsake. He doesn't turn his back upon you. He doesn't cast you out. He seeks his sheep out and he finds them. But he will chasten you. He'll rebuke you. He'll bring you back to that point where you're going to need to be upheld from sinking into despair. You're going to need to be upheld from sinking into that path of sin that your natural man loves. You're going to need to be kept by the power of God. You'll be taught that lesson again and again. You cannot keep yourself. But God can. And poor trembling one this morning, God will. He is able, he is willing. Doubt no more. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. If the Lord has ever given you a come, it means he's never going to say depart at last. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to cast you into hell. He only ever says come. To a child of God, he only ever says come if it is his intention to receive you. And so you this morning, you have taken comfort from that word, and because of that word you are still seeking, though you haven't found totally what you want, yet take courage. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, under no circumstances will God cast out a coming sinner that comes to seeking for mercy and pardon for the sake of Jesus alone. Then come, poor wretched sinner, polluted, great, vast though your sin may be, you may feel to be the chiefest of sinners in the whole world, but come. And you'll prove that the blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than all your sin. You'll prove that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is stronger than all your unrighteousness. You'll prove that the promise is true. Whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And then at last, you'll hear him say, come, ye blessed of my Father. Every promise that God gives to his church is a come. Every encouragement is a come. And that will end with that eternal come. But if God has never spoken to you, you have no right to expect him to say, come in that last day, only depart. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, if he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. May you be given the eye of faith to behold him as your sovereign Lord. May you be given the eye of faith to behold him as your master, as your saviour, as your righteousness, as your peace, your everlasting all. You know, there's a hymn on precious living faith, and a line of it goes like this. Nor death, nor sin, nor hell, against this faith can stand. She eyes this Saviour well, and Jesus holds her hand. He gives her power to live and view the wonders God alone can do. And that is what you are going to prove, believer, as you go forth and prove this text. As you walk in this word, behold, he goeth before you. You're going to prove it. As you are given that eye of faith to behold Emmanuel, to eye the Saviour well, and to see that Jesus is holding your hand right from the beginning of that way of faith, for every step, with the right hand of his righteousness, the right hand of his peace, the right hand of his love, the right hand of his mercy, the right hand of his faithfulness and kindness. You're safe. Satan cannot get you. He can't drag you into hell while this hand holds you. Jesus holds her hand. What a privilege. And he'll hold your hand right down to the very Jordan of death, and he won't lose his grip when you come into that river, but he'll hold your hand right to the very borders of Emmanuel's land. And he'll conduct you safe over the threshold. And there you'll see that you were graven on the palms of his hand, though unworthy. Though the chiefest of sinners, though the worst of cases. And once graven on his hands and on his heart, you're there forever. Then be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper, and we will not fear what man shall do unto us. You can rest on that. You can live on that. You can die on that. And you can rise and face your Redeemer as your judge in that judgment day with that promise. Well, this has been a strange sermon, hasn't it? May there have been a purpose in it. But may the Lord make you and me true seekers of Jesus, and may we find him. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £630, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Bus will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Mr. Wheatley is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. And will the church members please stay behind after this service? Let us close with hymn 990. Jesus, now thyself reveal, manifest thy love to me, make me Saviour, make me feel, all my soul's delight in thee. 990.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us now and forevermore. Amen.